Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Today is a great day because we've got a great guest. In fact, a great lot of guests. In fact, our favorite guest, it's you. And ask the guys your questions, our answers, today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
One of our favorite things to do is talk to our listeners.
It is. It's great. When we can't get you at a live event, the next best thing is to read through your Ask the Guys questions and figure out which ones we're going to answer.
Absolutely. It is second best, right? We love at our live events. If you've never been to one, we always hang out before, afterwards, during, talk real estate till the wee hours, and we love to do that. But a lot of you live far away. A lot of you don't come to events, and people have lots of questions on real estate, and all you have to do is go to our website at realestateguysradio.com and click Ask the Guys. That's how you get your question to us. We get lots of these questions, frankly, a lot more than we could answer, but we go through them and we pick out the ones that we think lots of folks can benefit from. If it's something really specific, then maybe not. I know it might be a burning question for you, but if it doesn't apply to a lot of folks, we probably won't do it on the air. We unfortunately don't have the time to respond individually. Occasionally that happens, but we really want to make sure that it leads folks to education for effective action. So thanks to all the folks that wrote in. We got great stuff today. Only really two caveats. Number one, we are not tax professionals or attorneys. We do not give advice. We give ideas and information. And number two, we can't get to all the questions. So let's go as quickly as we can. Here's question number one. This is from Jenny in Mission Viejo, California. My husband and I have inherited some money from his father. We'd like to invest in a rental property. We're looking at Austin, Texas because of the lower house prices. We already have two other rental properties. We live in California. Is it prudent to invest in a property if it's out of state? Thank you. Well, Jenny, it depends on you whether it's prudent or not. I like to say live where you want to live and invest where the numbers make sense. If you live in Mission Viejo and you can't get the numbers to work on a rental property there, then there's no law I know of that says you have to invest in Mission Viejo. It's a big, beautiful world.
Yeah, it definitely is a big, beautiful world. And since I've been hanging around with you, I've seen a lot more of it. So yes, that's awesome. I think that a couple things. First of all, Jenny, sorry about your father-in-law. It's always nice to inherit money, but it's never fun to lose a loved one. So condolences there. And as far as the contrast between California and Texas, there's a lot to think about, right? When you go in to look at a market outside of your own area, to Robert's point, the first thing we always look at is personal investment philosophy. What are you trying to accomplish? Markets have personalities and they behave differently. Some are more for cash flow. Some are a little bit more for appreciation or poised for appreciation. You can't always predict that that's going to happen. And there's a lot more to it than that, but you kind of get the gist of it. The next thing from your personal investment philosophy is you pick markets that have a personality that matches what you're trying to accomplish. And then the third thing is a team. And so the thing to me about out-of-area market investing that makes it prudent or not prudent is how good is your team? Because if you have a good team can really make the difference. And we've talked about that a lot of times in the past. If you haven't heard those shows, then dig through the archives and look up the ones where we talk about personal investment philosophies and how do you find a market. In terms of Texas versus California, you know, California is arguably in the top two worst landlord states there is. So if you're a landlord in California, you're going to love Texas. And then the thing about Austin, though, you know, it's interesting you talk about it being affordable. That's a really interesting comment because Austin, Texas is one of the most expensive markets actually on an income or affordability basis. And then, of course, when you're coming from a place like California, you think, oh, my God, these properties are free.
Everything from California seems cheaper except maybe New York City. Of all the markets in Texas, Austin is in the top four in terms of the price compared to the local income. So it is by no means an inexpensive market. So I guess the first thing is that's a paradigm to break. You're coming from California, you assume that Austin's got low prices. Well, sure, compared to Mission Viejo, but not compared to 100 other cities in Texas and 1,000 other cities in the U.S. So the first part of that is not to say, you know, Austin's bad, because we love Austin, believe me. A lot of reasons to consider Austin, Texas.
Sure.
Low price is not one, because the other thing that happens is it's always compared to what? One of the things you will find coming from California to Texas is that property tax is higher. Not by absolute numbers, but by percentage. So Texas has no state income tax. That's great. If you're moving to Texas, it's great for your tenants, but Texas does have high property taxes. Every market has to get its money from somewhere. Texas chooses property taxes. It's a pretty good system. If I look around the United States as to where vibrant markets are, some of the most job-creating and most exploding markets in terms of rental income and appreciation right now are in Texas, four of the top 10 markets, in fact. So you're not wrong for considering Texas. You just really have to look below the hood.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So again, you know, the team will make a big difference and the specific property that the team will help you find and tenant. And does it make sense? And, you know, the demographic. I mean, we're assuming single family home because you said houses, but, you know, not the quality of the neighborhood, you know, that type of thing. So who's your target tenant? How many people like that are in the marketplace? The one thing about Austin, it's the state capital. If you just went around the United States and just picked state capitals, you'd probably have a better than average success rate because they tend to have more stable revenue because they have government revenue and ups and downs, government continues to operate. And so that's a consideration, but it's also one of the more expensive of the Texas markets. You know, we got not a lot bad to say about Austin, great market. You could do a lot worse, but focus on the team. That's really the secret.
And coming from California, you will love the tenant landlord law in Texas. California is the second most unfriendly landlord state. Texas is among the most friendly. So there you go. Good luck to you guys with that. This question comes from Marvin in Alaska. Marvin says, hey, real estate guys, I love the show and look forward to every time I get to listen to it. So here's a clue. When you compliment us in the first line, we're more likely to read your question, I'm guessing.
I was actually going to change the Ask the Guys form. So it's just put your name, put your email address, put your compliment, and then put your question.
Quick question. My mother has recently came on board with real estate investing, and I want to advise her best I can. Obviously, education will be the priority, but any other advice or nudge in the right direction would be appreciated. She's 63 years old and has $100,000. She is looking to invest. She's a passive investor. Any advice helps. All right. Well, that's great. First of all, in a couple of weeks, you're going to want to hear a show about generational wealth because we're talking about this very thing, families and how we can all help each other within our families and friends and so forth. But if your mom has not been a real estate investor, I would say that one of the best ways to become a real estate investor right after, as you mentioned, getting educated is to consider a passive investment. There are active investments, folks that flip houses, get their hands dirty, rehab, all that kind of stuff. There are really passive investments like owning stock in a home building company or investing in a real estate investment trust. And then in the middle, there are these private placements, ways you can invest with individuals and fund managers to invest in real estate, and they all require different skill sets.
Yeah, I think take a financial planning approach. You know, when you're dealing with somebody 63 years old, it's clear that she's investing for income. She doesn't want to be active, hands-on, so that's great. That is the beginning of a personal investment philosophy, as we just talked about in the previous question. You're going to want to look for markets and teams that can do that. To Robert's point, you know, being a passive investor in a bigger deal can bring some safety. I'm going to bring up a couple of things maybe you wouldn't even think to ask, but this is your elderly mother, and I'm not that far underneath her as far as age.
I wouldn't call 63 elderly.
From a law perspective, she is. And one of the things to be very careful about when you're helping an older person make investments is a thing called elder law.
Even your mom,
especially if you have siblings involved. Let's just say, for example, you were to direct her into a deal or point her at somebody that you thought looked good and she were to lose that $100,000. You could end up having issues if your siblings or even your mother was upset about it. So start with education, build yourself a solid team of advisors, have more than your brain working on the problem, which is great that you're reaching out to a radio show. You're going to need more direct, close hands-on. But the financial planning approach is one of looking at her time frames, her risk tolerances. We know nothing about what else is on her balance sheet. There are many, many options in real estate. The challenge when you work with a financial planner is they only think in terms of paper assets. But the principles that they use in terms of risk mitigation, diversification, income, tax, capital gains, all of those things are important considerations. So take a look at the whole picture in your educational concept and then look to real estate to do the things that get recommended in terms of preservation of capital, income, tax advantage, diversification, all those types of things. Real estate can do everything paper assets can do. And the problem is real estate investors think about transactions. They don't think about planning. The problem with planning is they don't think about real estate. You've got to put the two together if you really want to be an effective real estate investor.
As far as education goes, the great news is there's lots of great books out there which are inexpensive and readily available. You can probably find some online courses which are great too. You might get her out to a live event, and the thing you need to be careful of, guys that attend a lot of live events, is there's some great ones, there's some shoddy ones, and there's some shady ones. So just choose wisely. Be prepared when you go to a free seminar to be sold something. That's the model. No one advertises a free seminar and rents a hall and pays for a stage and have sound and all that unless there's something in it. I'm not saying that's bad. That's just be prepared for that. On the other hand, there are seminars you would pay for where maybe nothing else is sold to you, but there's a lot of great content. And of course, there's stuff in between. We attend all of that. We attend free events. We attend very expensive events. And there's not a right or wrong. It's just understanding. And then specifically, what is she interested in? Is she just interested? She doesn't care what the product is. It's just about an ROI. Or are you the one with the real estate agenda? Is she the one that said, I want to look into real estate? Because you got to make sure at the end of the day, anyone who directs capital from anybody should recognize it's never about you. It's always about them. This is about your mom. And obviously you care about her or you wouldn't be asking. And obviously she needs to be as careful as she can, as prudent as she can. But not so prudent and not so careful that she never does anything with her $100,000, because if history shows anything, it shows that that's going to be worth less 10 years from now and 20 years from now than it is today.
Yeah, well, I mentioned diversification, and I don't know if this is her entire portfolio, but just one thing to consider is maybe not exposing it all to one deal or one transaction. If she's got more to work with, then that could be, you know, maybe fine. The other thing, just kind of a sidebar, you know, we've had Jean Guarino, who does assisted living facilities. When you have somebody 63 years old, hopefully she's in great health and she's a long way from ever needing to be in an assisted living facility. But if you were of a mind to syndicate, you might be able to pool her money with your money or other people's money and actually buy one of these high cash flowing operations and accomplish more than one thing, right? You produce income on her money today, but you're also positioning for maybe her longer term care down the road.
Well, absolutely. Plus, she may have other people that are in her same position, birds of a feather flock together. Maybe she has other friends, other people in the family who are also looking to passively invest and doing that together. There's strength in that. You want to make sure that the person you find has a great reputation and get the references and all that kind of stuff. You know, I think that obviously syndication is a thing we talk about a lot because we think there's great power in it on both sides. Just at the last syndication event we did, we do, you know, as you probably know if you listen to the show, we do our Secrets of Successful Syndication seminar. It's 2 days. It's got lots of folks that speak, including an attorney. And so we get people that attend that because they're interested in investing in somebody's syndication, not because they want to put together a syndication. That was kind of a paradigm break for us when we first noticed that. But this last event, I met a half a dozen people out of the 125 that were there who expressly came because they wanted to be prudent investors. So getting educated about how to invest in something maybe means you need to get educated about the very topic.
Yeah. And take a look at our special reports library. We've got webinars and free reports in there. We're always adding things to that. We're picky about what goes in there, but check it out. You just go to the website, realestateguysradio.com, and under the resource tab, you'll see special reports. And I think Gene Greeno's actually got a webinar in there on assisted living, and you'll find other things in there that you might find interesting.
It's Ask the Guys today. Your questions are answers. If you have a question for the Real Estate Guys, just go to our website at realestateguysradio.com and click Ask the Guys. More when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Forbes rated Memphis the best cash flow market in the nation. And our good friend Terry Kerr at Mid-South Homebuyers has been the premier turnkey rental property provider in Memphis for over 13 years. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, Terry has renovated over 750 houses. Real Estate Guys listeners have snapped up hundreds. Discover what these satisfied investors already know. Mid-South's properties are completely renovated with a one-year warranty and a lifelong rental guarantee. They're affordable, well-managed, and easy to own. Perfect for beginning investors and veterans alike. Get in on the action. Contact Terry and his team via email at midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick from Paradigm Life. I've recently written an ebook called The Perpetual Wealth Strategy. The ebook discusses one of the best investments, real estate, combined with a financial vehicle used by the wealthy, many U.S. presidents, famous actors, athletes, and even Houdini himself. You can download the ebook for free in the resources section on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait. Go download it now.
Hi, everyone. This is Jim Rickards, the author of The New Case for Gold, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Hey, yeehaw, come with us to Dallas, Texas. We are doing our field trip to Dallas at the end of June. We'd love to have you there with us. It's a great way to see that market, but also a great way to see a real estate market through the eyes of professional investors. We've got lots of great folks that help us out with this who really know the market well, and you're going to meet a whole bunch of great people. All the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com. Today it's Ask the Guys. You guys are awesome in putting all these great questions in our inbox, and we're going to answer as many as we can. This one comes from Alan in Glendale, California. That's two in California. Hello, Real Estate Guys. I'm a beginning investor and just started listening to your podcast, and I've learned so much from you guys and your guests that you have interviewed. Thank you. I have two questions. Number one, I live in Glendale, California. Do you have any events planned in the Los Angeles area? And number two, do you have any guests who know Los Angeles or the surrounding area that can give us advice about the best real estate investment strategy, whether it's residential, multifamily, apartment, commercial, and so on? Thank you. And again, you guys are great. Well, Alan, my goodness, thank you for that. And here's the answers to your first questions. First of all, we don't do that many events. We have maybe a dozen of total events a year. We used to be guys that did events 60, 70 days a year, and we aren't anymore. So we rarely do events in California. Once every year, we go to California. The first or second weekend in the new year, we'll be in San Diego, January 6th, 7th, and 8th. For Creating Your Future, our 2017 goals retreat. So that's the next time that we'll probably be at an event, although we do get asked to speak at places. And so, you know, check the calendar and see where we're going to be.
A couple things on that. You know, one is just talking specifically about the goals retreat. You might think, well, what does that have to do with real estate? Well, if you remember the previous questions, we talked about developing your personal investment philosophy. Really, real estate is designed to be a vehicle to take you to a destination. Your goals help you know what that destination looks like. And then the kind of vehicle you're going to use and how you're going to operate it actually grows out of that. So it really does fit in. So just kind of a little plug for that.
Well, check this out. Now, we haven't talked about this, so I may have to edit this out later. But think about the crowd that comes to Goals, right? So some of those people are. How many Southern California real estate professionals were at our last Goals event?
Well, quite a few, actually, because these are high-performance people, right? And that was going to be my next point, just about live events in general. You know, if you come to one of our events, obviously, we have a large audience in California. The radio show's been in California forever, and it's one of the largest podcast download markets for us as well, too. And so even though we may end up being in Phoenix or Dallas or Las Vegas or wherever we happen to be doing an event, a lot of times the people who come to those events, our events, are California investors. And so when they come, that's a chance to network. You know, you ask, well, how do I get plugged in? And this really brings the bigger answer, is you go to networking events. You go to where you're going to meet other active real estate investors. You know, we talk all the time about this notion about the 6 degrees of separation. Today's world's even smaller. You can meet one person who can open up a whole world. I just tell the story about me meeting Robert. You know, I met Robert, and that opened up a whole world of relationships that I enjoy today because I made the one relationship. And I made the one relationship by getting up out of my chair and going to a live event where Robert was a speaker. And then over time, I got into a relationship with him. And now here I am. I've been his co-host for going on 13 years now?
Seems like it.
It's been a while, 14 or something. It's been just a forever. But my point is you have to get out there and network with people. There are local clubs in Southern California, many local clubs. Now, some of them are pitch fest, and that can be okay. We talked about that earlier. You're going to get some information. You're going to meet some people. Some are really emphasizing education and networking, and that can be okay, and that can be great. You know, you're going to kiss a lot of frogs. But the key is that you're only one or two relationships away from really opening a whole world up to yourself. So put yourself in situations where you can go to what I would call target-rich environments, where the percentage of people who are in the room, there's a high probability that they're the right people, and get in a few conversations and try to get introduced to somebody you meet who might know the right person. And then pretty soon, all of a sudden, you're there, you're in the deal flow, you find out about what's going on, and that can really open up a whole new world to you.
Well, and the other thing is when you look at markets from a Southern California perspective, right? If you don't live in California, then you think everything in Southern California is Los Angeles. But if you live in California, you know that it is a huge, gigantic, diverse market.
Huge.
Huge. There's so many different markets. So to have someone who knows Los Angeles and the surrounding area, there's no one person I know that knows all of those markets. I know 15 people who each specialize in a particular area. Someone that knows Malibu like nobody's business. Someone who knows Huntington Beach and that alone. Venice. We've got a great couple of folks who are in Venice. And if you want to be in Venice, they know it. They know the first thing about Hollywood, but they know Venice. Orange County, I mean, is such a diverse. So the point is, and Russ makes a good point, get around the people who would know. Look for local events. There's investment clubs. There's meetups. There's places to go meet investors and get your questions answered and just rub brains with folks that are doing it. There's lots of those folks in Southern California.
Well, one last comment on that. And just again, advocating for live events. I'm just a huge proponent of it because you can send an email to a place like us and we can answer. And we could even give you names. Right? So you send an email to ask@realestateguysradio.com and we maybe introduce you to a few people. That's fine. But there's no influence. You don't know them, right? It's a lot different. If I walk over and introduce you to someone and say, hey, you know, I want you to meet this person and you guys meet and you have a conversation, that's a much warmer, much more solid introduction. Yeah, it costs a little bit more, but you know, it's like anything else. What do you want, right? You just want a name and a number or do you want a relationship? You know, I want the relationship. I go to live events so I can meet people face to face.
So if we don't come to California, hopefully you'll come and see us. But thanks for your question. This one's from Keith in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm a builder and I've been vacationing for the last 7 years. Yep, you read that correctly. I have free and clear lots ready to build on, but of course not having any income for the past 7 years has made it difficult to acquire financing. Any options out there other than hard money at 12%? How about leads on investor groups? All right, well, Keith, congratulations and wow, 7 years of vacation. I mean, we feel like we're retired because we do what we love to do, but vacation is a different story. So here's the deal. This is a reality for a lot of folks who get in and out of an industry. Your credibility, perhaps, is a little bit aged in your space. And certainly from the lender's perspective, you're going to have a challenge. But the good news is there's lots of ways around that challenge.
Yeah. I mean, private capital is, you know, what I think is the obvious answer. If you've got a credible resume and you're a quality person, and I'm guessing you have a decent balance sheet if you can hang out for 7 years and not produce income. So you're definitely lendable or at least investable.
Or your end buyer is, because who says you have to be the one to qualify for the loan? You could instead market what you're going to build and sell, and those folks will get the money before you start to build it. That's another option. Not all private money is hard money at 12%. You could come syndicate a fund for first position mortgage money at a real decent rate for folks who want to put money to work and don't want to roll up their sleeves. I mean, that's all day long. We're seeing those kinds of funds today.
Absolutely. And that's really the point. There's a lot of money out there starving for yield. And in the private capital area where you're not dealing with guys that are, you know, have a lot of food chain in between, right? You're going for that 12% money. There's a broker involved. There might be a pool of money on the back end. End of it. There are a lot of points and fees, but you can do private deals, you know, to a large degree, just from a technology perspective, people's ability to find each other. You ask about investor groups. We just talked about that on the previous question. You know, we create environments where people get a chance to meet each other. We create environments where people who are interested in raising capital get together with people who have capital. Now, there's no soliciting at any of our events. We don't create those events for the purpose of people getting together and doing deals. That's not it. But people do meet each other. The purpose is there. You're coming there to learn. But the bigger point is that finding these groups in today's technological world and making the connections. Look at what's going on with crowdfunding. These are platforms that are all about connecting people with deals, and there's going to be more and more in those. Finally, the law has caught up. We wrote a report about that very topic called New Law Upends Wall Street Monopoly. And the point is that it used to be you could not go solicit private investors. You had to go through Wall Street. And there were all kinds of SEC rules that made it difficult to get to that level. But today, there's still SEC rules, but they lighten them up and you can connect directly. So you might host an event at a local golf club or something and show people what your deal is. And if it makes sense, these people may invest. As long as they're accredited, you can do something like that. And you may not know that if you've been out of the game for 7 years.
Well, what you do have, Keith, is you, I'm going to assume, have a good resume as a builder. You've got product you can show. You've been in the business. You acquire land. You own it outright. I mean, there's a lot you have going for you. A bank is going to look at a lack of income, and that's going to be a challenge. So you just have to navigate around that. And so lots of ways to do that. Bring on partners. A joint venture of some kind
could be a great way. Several lots going for him, I think.
Several lots going for him.
You could pledge the lot and let someone else bring the development capital and be partners. So yeah, a lot of ways to put the deal together. The key is having relationships.
Our next question comes from Sean in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hey guys, I've recently approached a crossroads with my real estate investing. I now have too many deals that cash flow and not enough investment capital. Well, excellent. Congratulations.
We call that fully deployed.
Yes. I'm happy to go out and look for ways to solve this problem, but I think searching for a mentor could be a good option. However, I'm worried about how difficult finding a mentor is and then vetting them to ensure they're the real deal. Do you have any recommendations or know of anyone in the Vancouver area who's open to a mentee with the problem of having too many deals who can help create a long-term strategy? By the way, the deals I have are not in Vancouver. It's hard to find cash flowing properties in a market where a $700,000 two-bedroom house sells for $500K over asking price. Yes, that is a challenging hot market there. So, right, live where you want to live. Invest where the numbers make sense. If that's true for the deals, why can't it be true for your mentor? Why does your mentor have to be in Vancouver? I mean, the obvious reason is I want to get together for coffee and meet with the person. Well, you know, we have Skype, we have phones. There's a lot of ways. The person you're looking for may live in Vancouver, but that also could be a very limiting way to look at it.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you want to limit your mentorship opportunities to a geography any more than you would limit your investment opportunities to a geography? You know, you want to go where you can get the best opportunity. So the key is to find the right person. Do we know somebody in Vancouver? No, not really. And really, it depends on what you want to do. You know, I mean, we tend to gravitate towards the concept of syndication. I look at a guy like that, and I'm like, okay, you're fully deployed. You've got properties. You've got cash flow. You've got a resume. Your resume is leverageable. You create a way to go out and offer that to people, and they bring money, and you continue to do what you've already proven you know how to do, and you get a smaller piece of it because they're putting the capital up, but you can build an unlimited portfolio. You can just keep adding and adding and adding and adding to it. So that's a way to go. And we obviously we teach a class on how to do that. It's coming up June 3rd and 4th, and we do it regularly. So if you haven't been out to that or you know, something similar to it, you know, I would encourage you to do that. And the other thing that'll happen when you come to an event like that, you meet other people like you that are trying to solve the same problem. Maybe that kind of thing is not the right answer for you. Maybe you're looking for someone else who's going to show you how to move into a different product class or something where your limitations are less of an issue. Maybe you want to get something more involved in creative financing. I don't know. When you're looking for a mentor, you've got to think about exactly the mentor that you're looking for if they do what you're talking about doing.
And more importantly, what can you do for them? Mentors aren't sitting around waiting to just help you. A great mentor is going to be someone who needs help from you in some way. You've got time, you've got energy, you've got a way to go out and help this person. Because here's what a mentor has: limited hours in the day. They're probably busy. They're probably successful. But there's a lot that you can learn hanging around those folks. That's how both of us got our starts. Hanging around with smarter people than us. We were willing to help. That helped us get stuff figured out much, much quicker. So very much in support of the idea of getting a mentor. But you are absolutely right. You have to choose wisely. There's a lot of formal mentoring programs. That may be a way to go. There's a lot of casual mentoring relationships. Having been part of both of those, I see value in both. A structured program, you're going to know what your outcome likely will be. More casual, you're not going to have, you know, unfettered access. So I would say start kissing frogs.
Yeah. Again, in Vancouver, maybe your plan is, hey, I've got all this cash flow. I don't need to work for a living. My cash flow takes care of me. I can go work for a guy for free, but he's got to be in Vancouver. Okay. That makes sense, right? If your thing is, well, you know what? I'm willing to travel. Well, that changes. When Robert Kiyosaki wanted to learn how to take a company public or something like that, the guy sent him out on the road to some, I don't know, Peru or something like, I don't remember what it was, but Robert did it. I mean, because he wanted to learn. He did whatever. He didn't need the money. He wanted the lesson. Now, the other thing on the flip side of it, to your point, Robert, is sometimes, you know, that you got really, really expensive mentors and their reward in it is primarily financial. Then you have the guys that are, you know, no amount of money could get their attention. You're going to have to probably write them a check to prove you're serious, but it's not about the money for them. You're going to bring something else to the party. It might be that they're really intrigued by coaching you up. They want your success on their resume too. That's part of it. Maybe you bring a network or a particular product. You didn't tell us which types of properties you're involved in. So there's the key is you find a prospect and then you have a conversation with them about what they're looking. Your point, Robert, what's in it for them, right? Before telling them what you want and what you need and what your goals are, find out from them what their goals are and what their challenges are. And if you can find a way to position yourself to add value, you may end up in a relationship and they don't even know they're mentoring you because it's really all about you solving their problem. That's what I did with Robert way back
much.
In the day.
Absolutely. And it worked for both of us. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. It's Ask the Guys. Your questions, our answers. More when we come back. Plus, we'll have a question for you. Real Estate Trivia is next.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hi, this is Doug Casey, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Hey, thanks for listening to the show today, whether you're listening on the radio, on the podcast, however, we're happy you're here. It's Ask the Guys, a whole bunch of great questions from our listeners, and we're going to answer some more just as soon as we play Real Estate Trivia. That's our chance to ask you a question. When you hear the question and think you know the answer, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name and your mailing address, because if you're the winner, we're going to send you a copy of My Next Step, the great book by RE/MAX co-founder Dave Leniger. That can be yours if you know the answer to today's trivia question. Before we give you this week's question, we have to give you the answer to last week's question. We asked this: which U.S. state has the largest migratory elk herd in the U.S.? I know you've been waiting a long week to get the answer to this. Montana. That's the answer. Montana, the largest migratory elk herd in the U.S. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Which city in the world is officially known as the live music capital of the world? Which city is officially known as the live music capital of the world? What big old hunk of real estate is known as the live music capital of the world? If you know or want to take a guess, send us your answer to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. The first person that gets it right is going to get this amazing book by Dave Leniger, who co-founded RE/MAX International, and is just an amazing guy. This is not a real estate book, but it's an inspiring story. It's called My Next Step. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. It's Ask the Guys. Your questions are answers. If you have a question for the Real Estate Guys, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click the button that says Ask the Guys. That's how all these appear magically in the radio. This one comes from Steven in New Orleans, Louisiana. He says, hey guys, I'm interested in attending the Secrets of Successful Syndication in June, but I would like a little more information on the seminar. I'm not saying your program is like other programs, but I'm not interested in a seminar that is very broad. I'm interested in networking and diving deep into the syndication systems. Do you have an agenda for the conference yet? Well, we had a couple of questions and mentions of syndication, so while we might not normally answer this type of question on the radio, I think it might make sense to, because there's a couple things. First of all, this event and all of the events we do not have a published list of what we'll be covering by hour, by day. And that is extremely strategic.
The thing is, the world changes, the crowd is different, the speaker lineup changes, and we want the speakers to be able to talk about what they're most passionate about, what they think is most important. And these are live events. And so, yes, there's core principle stuff that we cover every single time. And in the syndication event in particular, we cover, you know, the basic functions. You know, we start out, no investor left behind. What is a syndication? Why is now a good time to syndicate? How do syndications work? And then we begin to build. We deal with things about marketing and selling because you have to have customers. We find out where do you find the deals and deal flow. We got to talk about the legal considerations. Most people who teach these programs don't go there because it's boring, but we talk about asset protection and insurance structuring. And we do a lot on case studies, and we never know who's going to be in the room. We pull people out of the crowd that we know that are there because we have a lot of students who take this thing over and over and over again. And that ought to say something, right? About a third of the room is people that have taken it at least once, sometimes two or three or four times. I think the record holder is going to be like number 7 or 8 this June, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. All of those things are important. Now, you talk about systems. Are we going to get out there and do operational flow charts and things like that? Well, no, because everybody's going to design their business their own way. But basically, there's two core systems you got to have. You got to have a pipeline of investors and money and a pipeline of deals. And when you build that out, that's your system. How you do that, the context under which you do all that is largely what we cover. We do have a networking event, but it's not about pitching deals. There's no soliciting at our events. This is about the opportunity just to build friendships, find other people that are like-minded, get to know people. It's not 1,000 people. It's typically less than a couple hundred people and sometimes even smaller than that. And there's a lot of interactivity and we like that too. So that's kind of the nature of our philosophy when we host an event. We've never had anybody ever in all the years we've been doing it ever tell us there wasn't enough content or it wasn't worth the money.
Or that it was too basic. If anything, we get the opposite. If for a lot of people, it's over their head. And that's not by design. We're not trying to snow people. The workbook is big. There's a lot of details. There's a complete sample private placement memorandum. You'll see a couple of different business plans, executive summaries, so you know how people who are really making money go out and do it. This next one, we've got an amazing case study for you. If you'd like to learn how to raise money, what if you could raise more than $10 million in an hour? We're going to teach that at the upcoming syndication event. So if you're doing better than that, don't come.
It's not theory,
right?
by the way.
It's the real deal. So I would say, what's the harm in coming? What's the worst that could happen if you invest the time to come? I'll tell you the reason we keep doing this. The people that come to this event are amazing. Here's who comes. It's not beginning real estate investors. When you watch the first morning, we ask who already owns real estate. You will see nearly every hand. Probably 40% of the room, Fannie and Freddie'd out.
Yeah.
They're there because they own so much real estate in their own name already that they have to syndicate for the rest. And at the same time, you're going to meet guys with dozens and dozens of years of experience. We have two people I know coming to this event with more than 3,000 doors already.
They like it best, and both of them have been more than once.
So I think we've beat that dead horse. If you want an agenda, well, right afterwards, you can go right through your notebook and figure out everything we taught. But in the meantime, it's a lot of content. It's a lot of information, and there's amazing people there. We'd love to see you there. Hopefully you can come out. It's Ask the Guys Today. Your questions are answers. Wow, that was quite a heated answer. I guess we have energy on that. This one comes from Doug, who is in North Dakota, Bismarck, North Dakota. He says, hey, I'm looking for some advice. Let me give you a little background. I'm a high school dropout with a great work ethic. I'm now 45 years old and been a mechanic most of my life. My wife and I both have great credit scores, 800 plus. We've saved around 30 grand for a down payment on our first investment as a rental. We just came back from the Orlando, Florida area, and it looks like we may have missed the window. It seems as though the prices are going up, and with the property management fees, the properties tend to be cash negative. So I may be out of my league here. Is that all I should be looking at, or should I look at the investment as a long term, meaning every month I'd also have to invest, say, $150 on top of what the renter will pay? Also, what is your thought on setting up my 401k for the new rental investment? Because my 401k is losing money right now. Thank you for your time. All right. Well, gosh, there's a ton here, Doug. So first of all, congratulations on a great credit score and saving up some money. Those are two difficult things to do. I think market identification is huge. But as we talked about earlier, it starts with who you are as an investor and what you're trying to accomplish. Once you've done that, you want to look at markets. Orlando, Florida, frankly, is probably one of our top 10 favorite markets.
Yes.
But the prices have gone up in the last year. We've been talking about Orlando for 5 years. The best time to would have invested would have been 5 years ago or 20 years ago. But is it so high? Well, of course, if you're looking through the cash flow lens, it's got to be positive cash flow with 20% down. Well, there are neighborhoods in Orlando that will do that. Absolutely. And that's an area where we know a lot of folks doing it. at the same time, there's more to a real estate investment than cash flow every month.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we named our book Equity Happens. Robert signs off the show most of the time with go out and make some equity happen. You know, it may be that you need to get involved in a value-added type deal where you buy a property that isn't quite ready for prime time. You get it up to speed and are able to raise the rent. So sometimes you get properties that are owned by lazy landlords, inattentive landlords, you know, people who are don't-wanters, you know. I think one of the things you said, you went, and you didn't say how you went into the market. I'll tell you one thing that I've learned. I've learned that if you just fly in and you're Joe Schmo, not that you are Joe Schmo, because I think your name's Doug, right?
Doug Schmo.
But anyway, but if you just show up in a marketplace and you ask a real estate agent or somebody to show you around, a lot of times you're looking at leftovers. And you have to understand this. We've beaten this, I know, but we do this all the time and people don't get it. This is a relationship business. And so when you go into a marketplace, maybe for the first time to look around, what you're looking for is not properties. You're looking for people. You're looking for relationships. You're looking to get on the inside. One of the biggest things that we do, and I wish we could do 40 field trips a year, because if we could find a way to do that, we could introduce more people to markets and teams, because the team is who helps you find the property. But they're not going to give a guy their best property. That all goes to their inside network, and then what's left over gets shown to everybody who just flies in and is in the schmo category, right? You don't want to be in that category. It's not an easy problem to solve. Part of the way you solve the problem, though, is by putting out a different problem you have, and that is that you've got a great credit score. You've got a little bit of savings, which is great. I'm going to guess you're a little shy on education specific to real estate investing. I wouldn't drop 30 grand on my education, but I would put a little bit of money into my education. Look for reputable programs. If you can find a local investment club that you can become a part of and look and watch, and there's going to be a lot of people that talk, but try to find out the people that actually do and have had success doing what you want to do, and then find ways to add value to them so that you have a right to be in relationship with them. Maybe you barter. You're a mechanic. Well, everybody needs a mechanic. You know, maybe you can find a way, hey, if I were to take care of your car, would you coach me? And again, I don't know what kind of a mechanic you are, but you get the idea. I mean, be creative and get educated. And in the process of doing that, you'll begin to meet people, and those people will bring you to other people, and you will discover things. One thing you might want to do, and by way of education, again, it sounds like shameless self-promotion, but I'm going to do it anyway, because we have a lot of things we could do with our life besides do these field trips, right? We have a hard time fitting them in, and we don't have the same inventory of field trips on our calendar that we used to, because we're just quite frankly too busy for them. It doesn't make financial sense for us to show up for an entire 2.5 days with 30 or 40 people, but we do it.
We love to do it.
We love to do it.
It just makes no financial sense.
It doesn't make any financial sense, but we would do it. So we charge $1,000, right? $997 or $1,297 or whatever it is for the 2 days, depending on when you happen to sign up. But and you got to pay the airfare, right? And you got to pay for the hotel. But what you get is 2.5 days, and you get to look at a marketplace, and you get to meet a team, and you get to look at it through the eyes of an investor, and you get to talk with other investors. You get to meet people and build relationships. Now, I'm not suggesting out of your $30,000, maybe you want to spend, you know, maybe $1,500 or $2,000 on that type of an educational experience. But I'm saying that's why we do. Some people do field trips for free. It's a fly-and-by. It might be a little bit more aggressive, but maybe that's okay. Just leave your wallet at home. Don't get all hot and bothered, and just learn as much as you can. The point is, invest some time and invest some money and begin to get educated, but focus not on looking for the deal. Focus on looking for the relationships, and the relationships will bring you the deals.
Absolutely. Great stuff. And don't get dissuaded by, you know, any negativity out there and setbacks. The fact that the market is stronger than it used to be, it's not too late. You may have missed part of a market. You haven't missed real estate. So stick to whatever it is that got you off the couch to write the email and right. So that's really important stuff. You've done a great job with your credit. That will serve you well. When I talk to anybody who has an 800 FICO score, I know they don't own very much real estate, because as you own more and more real estate and you have bigger and bigger balances, by the very nature of the way that consumer credit scoring works, your credit score is going to come down. So get ready for that and get used to it. And it's all good. Just ask anybody who's got hundreds of units if their credit score is 800. Very, very rare if any of the properties in their own name or if they're the primary signer on the loan that's true. So get ready not to be attached to that, and then get out there and kiss a lot of frogs. All right, good stuff. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Ask the guys today. More questions next.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
To really get the most out of real estate investing, it's imperative that you pick the right market. But more goes into market analysis than just the latest headlines. Come learn how to see a real estate market through the eyes of experienced investors. When the Real Estate Guys come to Dallas, Texas for an investor field trip, you'll learn a ton about what makes a market tick, and specifically the key advantages the DFW market and submarkets possess. Study the sustainable drivers, dig beneath the headlines, understand the financial metrics, and spend 2.5 days around other investors from other markets. And while no property is sold on the Real Estate Guys field trips, you will have the opportunity to pick the brains of real estate professionals that have been working in the market for years. Oh, and did we mention? It's a blast! Sample the local cuisine, experience the Dallas culture, and network like crazy. Visit realestateguysradio.com and look under events for all the details. That's realestateguysradio.com under events, and we'll see you in Dallas, Texas.
Hi, this is Darren Hardy, author of The Compound Effect, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show, and thanks to all the listeners that send in questions. If you have a question for The Real Estate Guys, just go to our website at realestateguysradio.com and click Ask the Guys. There's a form there. You can send us your question. We will do our best to answer it if it is a question we think will apply to a lot of folks. And today, boy, these questions have been great. This one comes from Antoinette in Newark, Delaware. She says, I'm interested in purchasing a duplex in a warm climate area that may have lots of high-tech jobs like perhaps Tampa or North Carolina, etc., where I can use one side for vacation and eventually retirement and the other side for cash flow rental. How do I go about selecting a property, keeping in mind what is best for rental purposes as well as my secondary residence? All right, that is an excellent question, Antoinette, and I'm going to start with the fact that I believe you have a flawed premise. I believe the fact that you're looking for a single property that will do two very different things for you is not a great idea. It's like we have people that say, I want to get an investment property in a beautiful vacation destination that one day I'm going to retire to. Well, here's the problem with that. The home you want to retire to is not likely to be a great rental property. And a property that is a great rental property is very likely not going to be a home you're going to want to retire to.
It's just like in markets, you know, you look in the coastal areas, like I'll use California because I'm familiar with it as an example. You know, Silicon Valley, where I've spent quite a bit of time, is a marketplace where the property values are extremely high.
Right.
And if you buy a home there to live in, it's great, but you would never want to rent it out because you will lose your shirt. And so that's typically true. A high-end property is not going to cash flow well. So, you know, and assuming you want to live in a high-end property, maybe you don't. So you have to ask yourself, what am I willing to live in? To kind of answer your question, I like the premise of being strategic. You're very specific about what you want. You want to focus on areas that support tech. You want it to be warm. Sounds like you want it to be in the east more than in the west of the states. That's great. You could pick out a couple of target markets from a distance and contact the Chamber of Commerce and learn a little bit more about what is going on economically. These days, it's pretty easy to subscribe online to the local newspaper, business journal, find out what's going on, who's coming in, who's going out, what the employment is like. Begin to study your particular market. That's great. At some point, you may want to go there. If it's a place you're going to consider living, I would really think you would want to go there. And when you go there and you get into the market, you can just go look for properties. You don't have to make a quick decision, right? You go to the market, you make sure the things you've read about you see, and it kind of confirms and makes sense. And then go look at some properties like a prospective owner. This is a place I would like to live. And go look at those properties. Then look at a property, look at maybe the very same property as a prospective tenant. And then do the math and ask yourself if that makes sense. I think if Robert's premise is true, you'll probably find that something is not going to match and you're going to have to segregate or separate. You're going to have to say, okay, here's where I'd like to live and here's where I'd like to invest. You may decide to do that. You don't need a single property. You could have two properties in the same general area, but across town, and one cash flows and one is a place you'd be willing to live. That could be a possibility depending on where you choose. And then based on the feedback you get, then you need to think about how am I going to develop relationships with people that can help me find the right property. Again, go back to what I've been saying the entire show, how important those relationships are. And you get into those relationships by seeking out people who are in that particular space. So it's going to be a lot easier to find a place that you want to live in. So I would really focus on developing relationships with people in the investment space. Very difficult to find any real estate professionals. When I say professionals, I mean real estate agents that have a high degree of experience with investment property. There's just not very many of them out there. That's the harder one to find.
Well, not only that, if you find a great investment property agent, of which we know dozens and dozens, they aren't going to know anything about the single family market or the market where people are living. That's not their specialty. Their specialty is ROI and helping investors. Now, it's not an absolute. So don't hear that, oh, that's a dumb idea. It's absolutely possible. A good friend of ours has triplexes and fourplexes that they use as vacation rentals that are beautiful. They don't rent them on a monthly basis. They're not long-term rentals. They wouldn't perform very well as long-term rentals. So if you want one side for cash flow, that's not going to work on a month-to-month basis. But if you are in a market where people are coming to vacation, then there's the whole world of vacation properties that are not hotels, and that could be a way. But again, that's a very specific type of property as well. So I think you're on a great track, which is you're kind of in touch with the strategy Russ talks about. I would just separate those two things. Really have your want and wish list for where and when you want to retire and what that needs to look like. Like, you might want to retire in a warm climate, but do you care about retiring someplace that has high tech? No, that's probably more about jobs so there can be rentals. Vacation where you want to vacation, retire where you want to retire, but invest where the numbers make sense. Those may be two very different places. Well, hey, everybody, thanks for all your great questions today. There were a lot more we didn't get to. We need to do another edition of Ask the Guys, and we will. Not too late to get your question in. Just go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click Ask the Guys. Thanks for your questions. Thanks for listening to the Real Estate Guys. And until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.